We are joined by Jeff O'Brien, an attorney extraordinaire, lawyer extraordinaire, barrister extraordinaire, all extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone. Now, Jeff, I want to say good morning to you and your bitch, your champion bitch. A bitch, of course, in the dog world is actually a very exalted title. And your dog is now a champion in that particular category. So what she had? How many points did she have to accumulate? And she's done it over the last 2 or 3 years and did it before the age of 3, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, she you have to have 15 points, but you have to include it in that is two major wins, being of a, you know, if there's a certain point level or higher, so 3 points or higher. So she just at this point she just needed her one major win.
And this is her name is Poppy, right? That's what you call her.
It's Poppy. Yep. And Jennifer, my wife, has been showing her. All but this last major has been with Jennifer handling her, and Jennifer made the decision, you know, just like in baseball where the starting pitcher maybe goes 8 innings and has a 3-run lead and you bring in the closer. She has a friend who is a professional handler, and Poppy loves her. And Jennifer made the decision that this was a show that it was, they call it the Wright County Kennel Club show. It's in Hutchinson, actually. And she looked at it. She said, I want to put our, you know, we're going all in, put all our chips in. And she brought in her friend as the handler, and, Poppy, you know, except loves her. They did great. They got the major win on Thursday, and Jennifer packed up and came home, and now they're on to bigger and better things. So they're, they've got a dock diving competition coming up this weekend. So, and that was a big thing. She wanted to get on to do other things with Poppy.
Off an outdoor dock, or is it an indoor dock?
No. Dock diving is done indoors.
What are they diving to? A pool?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. They have a pool with all the distances on the side, and so they can measure how far the dog jumps.
Just be sure to bring plenty of towels. This way you can dry the dog off before they go outside. All right. Well. You know, I got to make a quick swerve here. What's happening with, well, what happened to John Gruden? This guy, I mean, he thought he had, I guess he figured no one would ever know what he wrote into emails, except he happened to write them to the guy who I think was the GM at the time, Bruce Allen of the Washington Football Club, you know, the Redskins, that team. And it all got out, and, you know, the NFL... They were giving him a slow death because they put one out where he did – it was a racist comment about the head of the NFLPA. And then they started putting out little ones. He admitted to some of them, but I think the one that was the end for him was when he made homophobic comments about the linebacker. Was it Michael Sam, the one who was
– Yes.
And he just it was the end of him, and so he resigned. And I thought, you know what? Let me ask you this, though. I thought he had a piece of ownership in that team, that they gave him part ownership. So how do they get out of that part?
I don't know, and I don't know if they do get out of giving him more. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't remember if he had ownership or not. I don't know how they would probably have to buy him out or something. There's probably some clause if he's not the coach anymore that – He would get bought out. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when I heard the first email, I was kind of like, okay, it's from 2011. It's a stupid comment, but it is 10 years ago. But then you find out this, you know, this, like you said, this slow bleed of these other comments, and particularly the comments with respect to Michael Sam, considering that he's got Carl Nassib on his team, who's the first openly gay player in the NFL.
That's a great point.
And, you know, it's one thing to say, to have your opinions on that, you know, and be able to express them. It's another to be so bold as to put them in emails. So, you know, I think back to that story of, we've talked about it before, of Bud Grant with, when he put the grass, you know, the signs about, you know, grass seed, don't walk on it.
Yeah.
And if you can't follow this rule, how can you follow, what are you gonna do in a game? Well, if you're so dumb as to put all this stuff into emails, what does that say? You question the guy's, just basic common sense. So I think he did the right move in resigning. You know, maybe he'll go write a book and make some money to, you know, express his views on things. But yeah, there was some of the language, the way he would, these emails, the way he would call Roger Goodell and some of that, it really did kind of cross a line.
Well, the Goodell stuff, I don't really, you know, I don't mind that so much. It's the other stuff that, you know, the like you said, he's got a guy on his team who's openly gay. And he's got, you know, the Michael Sam thing that he wrote. Now, does it matter when he wrote it? He was not working in the NFL at the time. He was actually the lead commentator for Monday Night Football, and he was working for ESPN. But, you know, and he says he apologized, not a racist bone in his body, however heck he put it. But the words are the words. But there's also, is there a time period where people can – you could say, well, they did change, and they realized how stupid it was.
Yeah, I think there is, but I think everything is facts of the particular situation, and in this case, particularly with when he's got a openly gay player on his team.
Yeah,
you know, the implications of that for team morale, that's a problem.
Well, I also want to be very careful in seeming like I'm defending him. I'm not, but he. If he held the views and did not want a gay player on his team, Nassib would not be on his team because no one knew about what he wrote about Sam. So something changed there. And again, I don't know that he's certainly not going to go right back to ESPN. They're not going to hire him. So he really, I don't know where he can work or where he can get a job. It's going to be a while before he gets hired anywhere.
You know, I think there's, you know, you always wonder where the end is. And, you know, is what have we got access to the, you know, texts and emails of all NFL players, coaches, and owners? We wouldn't probably have a league anymore. You know, this is an era where, you know, Dave Chappelle, the comedian, is being accused of white supremacy for some of the things that he said in his most recent special and being transphobic. And I watched it last week and it was hilarious. That was a great. It was, and it makes a lot of sense.
He made a point that just because you don't agree with someone does not make you racist or transphobic. But that's the label you get hit with, and he's being hit with it.
We're getting to the point where saying insensitive things about people is apparently like the greatest crime. He brought up in his special this rapper DaBaby who's getting canceled for homophobic or transphobic comments. And he said, this is a guy who shot and killed a man in a North Carolina Walmart, and it had no effect on his career. This is having an effect on his career. So
it is a great point. I mean, he's absolutely right about that. Well, it is a world gone mad. And let me ask you this about the just a quick thought on the Vikings. A few days later, does it feel like a big win? Because I don't think it should or does. You know, people are not happy about this.
I tweeted after the game when the Vikings are tweeting out the picture, you know, the pictures of Greg Joseph being carried off the field.
Yeah.
We've gotten to a point where, you know, Bud Grant used to his famous saying when, you know, about against touchdown celebrations in the end zone, act like you've been there before. And now we're carrying the kicker off on our shoulders in week five after narrowly beating Detroit.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy. Now, I told you you'd get a little bit as we close. There is one team that's doing quite well, and it's jumped from D3 to D1. St. Thomas and Glenn Caruso doing a great job as a coach there. Were they now 3-2 overall?
3-2 overall, 2-1 within the Pioneer Conference. Their one loss was to San Diego, which Glenn will tell you. He said it in the year after the game that they should have won. They had a chance to, and they didn't, and it slipped away. And they continued. They on Saturday it was homecoming, and they continued their home win streak. They extended it to 29 games. So you will see them in. You know, if anybody's looking for some fun football, they got a couple more home games. I'm trying to make it to at least one of them. Schedules are tight, but you know, at home you don't see a difference from the team that was clobbering Division III opponents. They are very tough. But they're a very tough team at home. We'll see. They play in, I think it's Marist. I think they play in Florida this weekend.
Yeah, they are traveling. Then I think they have a bye. Wow.
So we'll see. But yeah, I'm impressed. They are adapting well to the Pioneer Conference and this level of Division I football.
That's terrific. Jeff, thank you so much. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. We'll take a quick break, and the BS Show will be right back.